Glad to see all those that were able to make it back with us here this evening. And as we have been doing over the past several weeks, we have been looking at the fruit of the Spirit. So I want to invite you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And let's read once more verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, or temperance, as the King James renders it. Against such, there is no law. Friends, the idea of temperance comes from the Greek word engrateia. Strong's number 1466, if you are able to use Strong's help there. It's a compound word consisting of in, or meaning to in or within, and kratos, meaning power, force, strength, dominion. And so quite literally, the word temperance or self-control means, from the Greek, power within, force within, strength within, or dominion within. And so the dominion of the inner man, in other words, that is his passions, his lust, his desires. We find this particular word being used or appearing four times in three verses. We see it there in Galatians 5 and verse 23. And we see it again in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. Let's read this together. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. We read, to knowledge, self-control. Going back to verse 5. We read, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, self-control. To self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And so we see this word used in connection with the fruit of the Spirit and with what has been labeled the Christian graces. And so it's important, friends, that we as Christians exhibit temperance or self-control. Notice with me also Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. Acts 24 and verse 25. Notice here that as Paul is preaching to Felix, he uses this word. He says, now as he reasoned about righteousness, temperance or self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered. King James says, Felix trembled and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. And so this idea of temperance, this idea of self-control, as Paul is preaching here, is preached in conjunction with righteousness and the judgment to come to the ungodly Felix and Drusilla. And it was something that caused Felix to tremble. Now, friends, of course, as we look at Roman society in the day and those that would model themselves after them, we see that they did not exactly follow after temperance, did they? They were wont to revel in their riches and revel in whatever really they could get their hands on. And so this idea of temperance really was one that was foreign to those of Roman society. Peter writes about that as well. And so, friends, when we think of temperance, when we think of this idea of self-control, and we see it in Galatians 5 and verse 23, and talking about the fruit of the Spirit, friends, and knowing what it is that a Christian is to do, he is indeed to have his body under control. He is to have that power, that force, that strength, that dominion within, and exhibit it, friends, and keep those lusts, those passions, those desires at bay. Remember Paul writing concerning himself that he buffeted his body. That is, he disciplined his body. Friends, self-control is discipline, is it not? We are to discipline ourselves that we can keep sin, if you will, at bay. This word also appears in other places as far as the principle or the base of this word. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Look at verse 9. Here the word is translated contain. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 9. But if they cannot exercise self-control in the New King James talks about the contain. If they cannot contain themselves, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Paul is writing here to the Corinthian brethren about this great persecution that has come upon them, and he says it would be better that they remain single, but he says that they cannot contain, if they cannot exercise the self-control that needs to be exercised in that matter, he said, then let them marry. It's better, he said, to marry than to burn with passion. So you see this idea of passion and self-control. We are to try, and as we are to be temperate and exercise temperance to keep these things in containment. Turn over a couple of chapters to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and look at verse 25. Paul was wont to, in many cases, to use, and probably in appeal to the Greek mindset. He would use many athletic references, and here is one. In verse 25, he says, "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." There's a sport that is out there today that is growing in popularity, really across the globe, mixed martial arts. And you have these fighters, and they're talking about their strengths and their weaknesses, and you may have one fighter that they're talking about that his strength is striking, and so he wants to keep the fight upright on their feet, and then you've got, and maybe he's fighting someone whose strength is wrestling, and he wants to take the fight to the ground. There's a science in it. And so the wrestler has to prepare himself that in case he can't get it to the ground, he has to work on what? His boxing skills, right? His striking. The same idea with the boxer part of it. That's his strength, he has to work on his ground skills, his wrestling. You look at all these sports. You look at, as well, maybe what Paul is talking about here is he wants to talk about racing many times. Whatever race it may be, he may have a strength, he may have a weakness. Maybe this runner over here is a great starter, but he doesn't finish so great. And so he has to work on that. He has to work on his endurance so that he can finish strong as well. Maybe you have this one over here that while he's not a great starter, he finishes races great, but maybe he gets too far behind, and so he has to work on his starting ability. That's what Paul's talking about. He that strives for the prize, he is temperate in all things. Now friends, if that fighter has spent all his time working on one thing leading up to the fight, and that's the only thing that he worked on to neglect even of his strength, then maybe he gets beat in his strong point. Now the racer maybe that is a great starter but not a great finisher. If he works all his time leading up to the race, working on how he finishes a race, maybe he doesn't start so great this time. And so what Paul's talking about is while we must also work on our weaknesses, we must not work on our weaknesses to neglect our strength. The one that strives for the prize is temperate in all things. He spends really equal amounts of time in practice as his athletic illusion is here, so that he may be strong in all points. Friends, as Christians, look at verse 25 again. As he's talking about temperance. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Friends, there's no doubt that some of us struggle with things maybe that others don't. And we need to work on those things. But don't concentrate so much on our struggles that we neglect our strengths, that our strengths eventually become weaknesses. We need to be temperate in these things, as Paul says to us here. And the whole reason is for that crown for which we strive. The word appears in Graptes in Titus chapter 1 and verse 8, and again it's translated temperate. Titus chapter 1, Paul writes to Titus there in verse 8, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, temperate, or self-controlled. Again, the idea of being self-contained. Not allowing things to overcome. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 5 for just a moment. And again, thinking of this list of things that Paul has wrote to the Galatian brethren, the fruit of the Spirit is this. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then notice how he finishes that verse. Against such, there is no law. Friends, these things are the things that ought to define a Christian. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 18. If these things that Paul writes to the Galatians, Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, embody the Christian, notice how he will conduct himself. If it is possible, he says, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Friends, if we allow the Christian graces, if we allow the fruit of the Spirit to embody us, if we will embody those things, then friends, there will be no doubt that if our enemy is hungry, we will feed him. If he's thirsty, we'll give him drink. We will not be overcome with evil. But we'll be able to overcome the evil of this world with good. Temperance needs to be, and all of these things, as we look at the fruit of the Spirit, need to be within the Christian in all cases. In Romans chapter 14, in verse 19, we read, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Paul concludes what he has to say concerning the fruit of the Spirit by saying, against such there is no law. In other words, friends, we ought to have as much of the fruit of the Spirit within us as is possible in this lifetime, because there's no law against it. So, friends, with all those things as we've talked about over the past weeks, what do folks see when they look at us? What do folks see as they watch us from day to day? Are we bearing the fruit of the Spirit? Can God be seen in us? Because that's what this amounts to. Is love within our hearts, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Friends, all these things that are to embody the Christian, or the Christian is to embody. Do folks see that when they look at you? And friends, if that's not the case, let us strive to make it so. Let us love one another, as Paul would write, with a pure heart, fervently. As Christians, because we serve a risen Savior, because we have the hope of heaven, we ought to have a joy that passes all understanding. As well as that peace that He gives us. John, the apostle of love, writes concerning our salvation that we can know that we are saved. Friends, you know that we as Christians ought to get better sleep than anyone else in this world. Because we ought to know, we ought to have faith, we ought to have the confidence in our God and our Savior that He's going to keep His promise, that if Jesus were to come tonight, we have a home in heaven with Him. That gives us peace. We as Christians ought to be long-suffering indeed. There are things in this world that are going to be out of our control, and we're going to have to suffer through them with patience. We ought to also be long-suffering with others because God has been long-suffering with us. We ought to be kind. Friends, a Christian is kind. And that's something that folks ought to see. Ought to be good. Folks should see the goodness of a Christian. Ought to be faithful, Paul says. Can people see your faith? And how you conduct yourself and how you talk with others. What about gentle? Are you gentle? And friends, are you keeping yourself under control? Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books and let's be ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friend, if you are here this evening, having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, why not tonight? Why not put Christ on in baptism? Why not allow Him to add you to His church? Why not tonight, friend, be saved from your sins? Be His. Friend, it may be that you're here and you have obeyed the gospel at some formal point in your life, but for whatever reason, you've fallen away. You've walked down the wrong path. Would you get back on the right one? Would you be His again? In Matthew chapter 11, our Lord extends His invitation. And He asks that all those that labor and are heavy laden, that they come unto Him, for His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Friend, would you put on the yoke of Christ this evening? If you have a need, and if you are subject to His invitation, won't you come right now while we stand and while we sing?